I recently came across a quote by the American singer Pink. She said, "I steer clear of organized religion and go straight to spirituality." It's an interesting quote in many ways, actually, and it seems to reflect a developing trend both here in the UK and the US when it comes to matters of belief and faith. Many people now would class themselves as spiritual, but not religious. It's a pretty broad category. It includes a range of different beliefs and practices, from those who go to Stonehenge for summer solstice, to those who believe in the power of crystals. But it also includes those people who at times are simply filled with awe and wonder in a transcendent moment when they look at a beautiful sunset or an incredible landscape. One writer defines this category of people as people who simply have a feeling that there must be something else, something more. In other words, people who see that there's a bigger picture and they want to find their place in it. People who are seeking answers to life's big questions, but who think that the answers won't be found in religion. And this morning, as you've come here this morning, you might feel exactly the same way. If so, what might surprise you is that the Bible says exactly the same thing. It says that the answers we're looking for will not be found through religion, or for that matter, simply having a kind of spiritual awareness or interest, although that can be a starting point. Now, the Bible shows actually we need much more than that. In fact, when it comes to religion, what the Bible does is lift the lid on religion, and it shows that religion by itself is empty, that religion won't get you to heaven, religion won't make you right with God, particularly the kind of box-ticking religion that simply goes through the motions on a Sunday but then puts it away for the rest of the week. In other words, a religion where our hearts really aren't really in it and where we still keep God at a safe distance. And the Bible gives us a number of human case studies to illustrate that, like the man we've just been reading about, a man called Nicodemus. A man who actually seems to have a foot in both camps. He's religious, but he also has an awareness of spiritual matters. What's more, Nicodemus wasn't just religious, he was a religious leader. He was a guy people would have expected to have all the answers, but it's clear that he hasn't. And that's why he comes to Jesus. And the question is this, why does he come specifically to Jesus? Well, it seems to be because he seems to have either seen or heard evidence that proves that Jesus is someone who does have answers. And that Jesus is more than just a wise teacher and more than just a good man. Nicodemus says these words to Jesus, "We all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you." Actually, the miracles that Jesus does, stilling a storm with a word, making blind people see, making lame people walk again, healing people who have incurable diseases, even bringing dead people back to life, all those miracles point to much more than God is with Jesus. They're actually evidence of exactly who he said he was. He said he was the Son of God, and the miracles prove that, because only God's Son could do what Jesus does. And by the way, that's evidence that we should take notice of too, evidence that we should all follow up ourselves. A few days ago in Seville, in Spain, a group of tourists were stood around listening to a busker in the city centre who was singing the Robbie Williams song, Angels. Nothing particularly extraordinary about that. Buskers are pretty common in cities, aren't they? And Angels is a popular song that buskers often try and do their best to sing, don't they? But what was interesting, as these tourists listened, it became clear that this was no ordinary busker. That only Robbie Williams could sing the song like that. And sure enough, it was Robbie Williams, himself in person. The thing is, as people watched Jesus, as they listened to Jesus, as they saw the things that Jesus was able to do, it underlined his identity. Because only the Son of God could do the things that Jesus did. God's Son, himself, in person. And here, as we join the account, Nicodemus is just beginning to understand and see Jesus' identity, but he doesn't see it fully yet. In fact, the picture of Jesus that Nicodemus has in his mind is a bit like a statue of Andy Murray that I saw on the internet recently. You know, it doesn't quite do justice to the subject, does it? It's probably got the expression right, but that's about it. And actually, if you look at Jesus' first words in verse 3 to Nicodemus, they are another proof of his identity. Because even though Nicodemus hasn't verbalized it yet, Jesus knows exactly what is on his mind. Jesus knows why he has come. And the question is, what is on Nicodemus's mind? What is it that is dominating his thoughts and his heart as he comes here to Jesus at night? And the answer is, it is that he wants to be secure. He wants to be safe. He wants to be safe and secure in this life and also in the next. Actually, do you see, he wants to make sure that he's part of the kingdom of God. And let me just underline, that isn't some kind of weird religious sect. Being part of the kingdom of God is a kind of shorthand for having a real relationship with God, a real connection with God. It's the connection that Claire and Bethany have talked about so very helpfully in their testimonies. A connection that goes way beyond knowing that God is there in some distant way and instead involves actually knowing God personally, having a real 24/7 day-to-day friendship with him, a really close relationship with him. And not everyone has that connection. It isn't a kingdom or a community that everyone is part of. And right now, you might be outside of it. But the good and great news of the Christian message is that it's open to you. It's open to all of us. And it is the connection and relationship that God longs for us to discover. And during our lives, what we find, like a father calling out for a lost child, God, our Heavenly Father, calls us to come back to him. And I want to suggest this morning, one of the reasons that he has brought you here is so that you can hear his voice once more. He never does anything by accident. There are no coincidences. And he loves lost people very deeply. Lost people like me. Lost people like you. And here Nicodemus is taking his first steps to discovering that connection that he needs. He wants answers, particularly because he knows that if you're not part of God's kingdom in this life, then you won't be part of it in the next. And actually, as you read and watch this conversation unfold, we find that that eternal perspective is very much in view. And the question is this then, how can you secure a place in God's kingdom? How can we discover the real relationship with God that guarantees that? How can you know for sure at the end of your life that heaven's door will be open to you? You know, those are exactly the kind of questions that Claire and Bethany asked. And they found the answers by coming to Jesus. Because Jesus Christ is the only one who can reconnect us with God. The only one who can rebuild the bridge between us and God. Repair the bridge that we break. And if you look at verse 3, what is the answer that Jesus gives to Nicodemus? We read this. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And as Jesus says those words, you can almost imagine Nicodemus getting a frown and scratching his head, can't you? In verse 4, he says, what do you mean? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? You see, as a man, and I have to choose my words very carefully here, Nicodemus knew some of the realities of childbirth. Only some. He didn't understand, of course, all that women have to go through, all the pain that's involved. But crucially, in very, very simple terms, Nicodemus knew one important thing. Once you're out, you don't go back in. And that's why he basically says, Jesus, what on earth are you talking about here? Now, obviously, Jesus isn't talking here about physical rebirth. He's actually talking about spiritual rebirth. When he uses that term born again, it's a picture. It's a metaphor. Jesus is saying to be part of God's kingdom, we need to receive new spiritual life, a new spiritual life that draws us back to God, a new spiritual life that repairs our relationship with God. The God who loves us with a deep love. And as we've just been seeing, the God who loves us no matter how we may have turned away from him in the past, and no matter how many wrong turns we may have in our past. That is how amazing and far-reaching the love of God is, which is what Bethany and Claire have come to see. And that new spiritual life has two amazing effects on us. Firstly, when we receive it, we discover what we've been missing. You see, that awareness within us that there's something more, that there's something missing, as it were, from the very core of our lives, something that, as Bethany said in her testimony, in our hearts is there that we know that we need, that we don't have. That awareness is actually a very, very natural feeling. It is a symptom. It's a symptom of a lost connection with our Creator. Because, see, the Bible shows that when God created human beings, he designed us to have that connection. It was part of our natural makeup, part of who we were supposed to be. And without it, we simply don't function as we were designed to function. You know, when you travel by plane, one of the things you have to do can be incredibly painful for some people. You have to switch your mobile phone to airplane mode. And suddenly your phone becomes very limited, doesn't it? Suddenly it has some functionality, but it doesn't work fully because it isn't connected to a network. Well, let me put it like this. Without the connection with God that we were created to know, we operate a bit like mobile phones on airplane mode. Yes, we function, but only in a limited way. We don't experience the life that God meant us to enjoy in all its goodness, in all its peace, in all its fullness. But when we discover that connection, when we rediscover it, when we experience the new life through Jesus that only he can give, it is as though we are activated to work in the way that we were supposed to work, in the way that we were designed to work. And when we do find what we're missing. It is that sense of suddenly the peace is falling into place and we discover an amazing peace, a forgiveness for past wrongs, and a love that makes us whole. So this new life enables us to find what we've been missing. But secondly, this new life then begins to work within us. You know, there is a luxury hotel in Oxford called the Malmaison Hotel. But incredibly, it used to be a prison. It brings a whole new meaning to the words prison break, doesn't it? And on the outside, as you look at it, you can see very clearly that it did used to be a prison. Its exterior is unchanged. But inside, as you go into it, suddenly you see it is a hotel with beautiful rooms and incredible facilities. And by the way, if you book through us here, you get 25% up. No, I'm only joking. I'm not on commission, I absolutely promise. But do you see, on the outside it looks the same, but on the inside it is incredibly different. It's been transformed. And you know, that is a really good picture of the effect that the new life of Jesus has on us. It gradually changes us internally so that we become new, very different people. The Bible talks about it as a kind of spiritual transformation. We look the same on the outside, but inside we're very, very different. There's a great verse in the Bible that puts it like this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone. A new life has begun. And that new life works within us to gradually make us more and more like Jesus, so that, as Claire put in her testimony, we come to reflect Jesus more and more. Find that we begin to live by different values, by different ways of thinking. We operate, as it were, with a different compass point, one that points to God, not to ourselves. And we find that we now want to walk on God's paths because we know his ways better. that his paths lead to wholeness and to peace and to joy. You see, contrary to popular belief, the phrase born again Christian doesn't mean a group of happy clappy churchgoers who are swaying in the aisles. It's often the way it's portrayed on TV, and I hope that if that's what you expected to find this morning, that we've managed to put your mind at rest. But you see, born again simply means someone who has received new spiritual life. And what Claire and Bethany have done this morning by being baptized is an outward sign of the inner change that's taken place in their lives. They still look the same, but they're different people on the inside. They've had a change of heart, and their hearts now beat for Jesus. Let me underline, they haven't gone all religious. They haven't had stained glass windows put in at home. And the reason is, you see, because you see, as we see with Nicodemus, being part of God's kingdom isn't about being religious. It's about a relationship. A real relationship with the God who loves us with an amazing love. How can we have that relationship? How can we receive that new life? Well, only through Jesus. And only through the event that stands right at the center of human history, his death on a cross. Because the only way God could forgive our sin, our wrongdoing, and give us the new spiritual life that we need was by sending his son to die for us. That is actually the event that Jesus is referring to in verse 14 of our reading when he talks about the Son of Man being lifted up. He's talking about being lifted up on a cross. And as Jesus gives his life on a cross sacrificially, he creates a way for our sin to be forgiven, all our wrong turns to be wiped away. And that is what makes it possible for our broken relationship with God to be rebuilt and restored, to be reconnected with him now and forever. And if we want that relationship, then like Bethany and Claire, we need to come to Jesus and ask him to forgive our sin and to give us new spiritual life. And let me say this, the great news is that if we do that, Jesus will give us his forgiveness. He will give us that spiritual life. He always does. In fact, this morning, it is as though Jesus Christ holds those things out to you. He offers them to you, and if you receive them from him, God makes to us an unbreakable promise, the promise of verse 15, where we read, "Everyone who believes in him will have eternal life." When I was five, about 20 years ago, when I was five on a beach on the Isle of Wight, I wandered off from my parents and I got lost. I can still remember it very vividly, being really frightened and crying. I'm over it now, but it's taken time. But you know, what was interesting was no matter how hard I tried, no matter how many times I tried to retrace my steps, I couldn't find my parents. I couldn't find my way back. But thankfully, my father came and found me. Well, to use that picture, we have all walked away from God. And the only way we could come back to him, the only way we could be reconnected to him as lost people was if he came to find us, if he came to meet us. And the good news of the Christian message is that God did exactly that when he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As it says in verse 16, "For God loved the world," that is the people of the world, "for God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." God gave us his son. All we have to do is receive him. All we have to do is ask him to bring us back into relationship with God and then help us as we seek to build our lives around him, to change that compass point of our lives and to receive eternal life with him, instead of facing an unthinkable eternity without him. You know, there are people who choose to believe that they can find God and find eternal life without Jesus, that they can do it through their own efforts, by trying to do good things, by trying to be religious, or even by trying to be spiritual but not religious. But the Bible makes it clear that we simply can't. The only way back to God is through Jesus. The only way back to God is through the one who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that is what Bethany and Claire have done. And by doing so, they have discovered the something more that we all long to find. And my prayer is that in time that you will make exactly the same discovery that Bethany and Claire have so helpfully shared with us this morning. And finally, and very briefly, a word to Claire and Bethany. We have been so encouraged by your faith and so encouraged by your testimonies and the step of obedience that you've taken this morning by being baptized. And as a church family, we want to do all that we can to support you as you continue to follow Jesus, knowing that every step that you take with him, he takes that step with you. And he promises that he will never leave you, that he will always be with you, and that he will give you the power and the strength you need to continue to live for him and to face whatever is in the future and to follow him right to the end. And as you go forward in faith, our prayer for you is Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, where he writes these great words. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Well, in a few moments after we've sung our final song, I'm going to welcome Bethany and Claire as members of the church. That sounds quite a formal thing. All that we're doing is effectively formalizing something that has already been. They've been part of our church family here for some time already, but I will shake them by the hand and then pray for them. And then after that, we'll have coffee and tea. But before we do, we're going to sing again. When we become Christians, we find that absolutely nothing compares to the relationship that we discover with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the central idea of the next song that we're going to sing, My Jesus, My Savior. Again, if you're able to, let's stand and let's sing. Please do sit down. Can I just say that if you've been sat there with questions about what you've seen and questions about what you've heard, then do come and talk to myself or to Pete, who will give us a wave, who's my co-minister here, or to talk to Bethany or Claire. Ask your questions and we'll do our very best to answer them. If you would prefer to read something, to take something away, then let me recommend two booklets. They're on our bookstore. They're absolutely free. We'd love for you to take one. One is called Who is Jesus? And one is called Why Jesus? They're very thin, they're very short, but they give you a great introduction to what Christianity is all about. If you want to take that interest further, we run a course that we've talked about called Christianity Explored. It runs over 7 sessions, and it gives the opportunity to have an informal look at the Christian message, to ask questions. It's kind of placed around 3 questions. Who is Jesus? Why did he come? And what does that mean for me? Let me recommend that to you. If you want to be part of that, either send a note to our website or have a word with Pete or myself, and we'd love to involve you in that. Well, let me now come and welcome Claire and Bethany. I'm going to ask you to stand, if that's okay. And we'll go senior first. Is that all right? Let me shake you by the hand and welcome you into the church family here at Shepherd Drive. It's been a great joy.